We're very excited that you guys are all here, and I think you'll be super encouraged if you're feeling really weary or just alone. I think tonight there's something for everyone tonight. So how did this talk even come about? I'm Jill, and Gail I'll be introducing in a minute. Well, here's the backstory. With my background as a hospice nurse and more recently as an end-of-life coach, I talk to many people about their loved ones who may have terminal illnesses or chronic disease. And a little over a year ago, my sister, who's here, she and her Bible study were reading a book called The Caregiving Season by Jane Daly. And she said, "You've got to read this book." So I read the book and I thought, I need to drink wine and talk to some people about this book. So I contacted Cheryl Walker and Kathy Trains, and I said, "You guys have to read this book. We've got to talk about it. It was so encouraging. You feel like you could have written almost every chapter." And so word got out, and three of us actually turned into eight of us for that first meeting. And we continue to meet every other month. We get together and we pray, we share our struggles, we share tears, laughs, you know, funny anecdotes, things that happen, and it's just been really a great source of encouragement. And so we do have a sign up tonight if anyone else, if you feel like you need some support in that way with other people that are going through what you're going through, we do have a sign up at the back. Our group, we're like pretty maxed out. We're about 12 to 14 women. And so just want you to know, we struggle. We do a lot of things the wrong way, and we come and just share our stuff with one another. And we are frustrated at times. And I'm sure we frustrate the heck out of those we're trying to care for. But we encourage one another. And I think this would be a great thing. We want to honor these people in our lives who we're trying to love and serve. So I think recently it's just become really apparent, especially in our church, you know, just the age of our church, and there's a lot of us who are caring for loved ones, spouses, children, you name it. But I think this is really timely. And when I went and spoke to Ben, it just seemed like God was like, yeah, now is the time. So to start with, I want to read a caregiver's prayer. I want to pray over you guys. And you got this prayer at the back of your handout. So if you need it, sorry, my nose runs. If you need it after tonight, it'll be here for you. Because sometimes you just don't know what to pray. So I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love the one that we are caring for. We have committed our lives to caring for our loved ones at this season of life. Yet we know the task is greater than our abilities. As we seek to help one another, we ask you for strength to shoulder the burdens before us. Yet we also ask for the wisdom to know what is ours to carry. We ask for the courage to admit our failures and make amends. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask that you help us daily to apply it to ourselves and to extend it to others. As we walk through this long valley of the shadow of death, we ask for a deeper awareness of your presence to calm our fears. As we glance backward, may we only see your provision. And as we look forward, may our eyes see your guidance. May we reflect you as we minister to this one whom we love. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. So I want to introduce you to my new friend, Gail Reed. I recently met Gail through her son, Bill, who some of you might know. Gail is the author of a book called Caregiver's Checklist, A Personal Experience, which she compiled as a result of her journey as a caregiver and the things that she learned through that experience. It's a highly practical tool for anyone who finds themselves caring for someone or even preparing things for your family when you are going to be cared for. It costs only $10. Gail only charges for the cost of printing of the book, and she has copies for sale in the back if you'd like to buy one at the end of tonight. Gail was in the process of tweaking a possible sixth edition of her book and heard about my recent training as an end-of-life doula or coach, which I'll share a little bit more about later on. Gail was curious. She wanted to see if this information would be helpful to add to her book. And within the first hour, I felt like I had found a new partner in crime in Gail. I told her, Gail, you need to come to my caregiver group and talk to us so you can share what you've learned. And as we hung out a little longer, an idea grew in our minds that we believe was put on our hearts by God to come and share with others about what we both learned. So here we are a few months later, and we're really excited to share with you a little bit of facts, feelings, and frustrations of fundraising. Gail and I, we've prayed that you would feel understood, that you would be encouraged by God through tonight's talk. And as I listen to Gail do her talk, I really feel like there is something for everyone that we can learn from her experience. So let's give Gail a warm welcome.
Now, just so you know, the part she didn't tell you is she invited me to come to her group. And then the next time we talked, she said, oh, by the way, there might be 100 people. And I said, oh, okay then. If you don't mind, I'm going to sit down, hopefully. Okay, so she went through pretty much my first paragraph. So, but before I begin, I just want to say a personal thank you to God, because I've never spoken to a group this large before. And I've asked him to be with me and to guide me and to help him have him help me share and show his love to all of you. My mom was widowed twice. My dad had a heart attack one afternoon while napping. He was 49, and I was not quite two. My stepdad died in the hospital, and I was with him at the end. He was 87, and I was 27. The bank froze the accounts when my dad died, and my mom made sure that didn't happen with my stepdad. The lesson for me was being prepared legally for the transfer of financial and legal responsibilities. Mom picked her retirement home. She chose Otterbein in Lebanon. It was about 50 minutes from where I lived in Fairborn. The next year... Thank you. The next year, she fell at the family reunion, and what we didn't find out for a few weeks later was that she had a broken pelvis. The doctor over-medicated her, and she started hallucinating and got very, very nasty. I called him at home, and I told him to take her off those meds. When he responded with, I'm sorry, but, I asked him to sign the release so that I could take her back to her doctor in Dayton. And then later, I moved her back to Fairborn so I could check on her more often. She died at 78. I was 47. My aunt was widowed with no children, and she moved back to Northern Ohio and asked me to be her legal representative. Well, I had two problems with that. She lived 4 hours away, and I'd forgotten much of what I'd learned with my experience with my mom. And one other, the pastor that supposedly cared about my aunt seemed to be more interested in getting a fee for being responsible for her service, and so we released him from his responsibility, and the family created her celebration of life service. She died at 93, and I was 58. So I made up my mind then that I was going to take my notes, write a book that I could either use just for myself or to share with others. I remarried, and my husband was diagnosed with end-stage prostate cancer. His PSA was over 2,800. A week after the diagnosis, we called the lawyer, got the living will and healthcare power of attorney prepared, and changed all the financial instruments to joint or payable on death so nothing would go through probate. In October that same year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, DCIS. I prayed and told God my journey needed to be easy so that I could take care of Jim. The scripture in the daily word that morning was Psalm 73:23, "For God will take me by the hand and lead me onward." And he has done that from that day. Thank you, God. In Jim's final weeks, we hired an aide to come 10 hours a day during the week while I was at work. I took care of him nights and weekends. He got dehydrated and spent a week in the hospital, started radiation, and transferred to rehab for 2 weeks before coming home for good. The drugs he took for his PTSD conflicted with his cancer and pain meds, and it got ugly and nasty mentally and hard physically. Jim died at home the morning of May the 2nd, 2012. And when the veterans chaplain got there, he said it was a good day to go to heaven. Thank you, God. Jim was 64, I was 66. I moved to Dublin in 2014, and the next year began dating the church's greeter team leader, Ted. We dated for 2 years, and in 2017, he had a heart attack. His favorite scriptures were in James, and this verse was very helpful during this time. James 5:13-15, "If anyone is hurting and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, the Lord will raise them up." One night when he was having trouble breathing, he asked for the prayer team to pray him through the night. We prayed his prayer, James 5:13-15. And I'm sharing that with you because I hope that if you're taking care of someone now, that you have a prayer team to help you through, because it's a really powerful resource. Our worship leader sent Ted this prayer: "Lord, I praise you that you not only bring glory out of darkness, strength out of weakness, and joy out of sorrow, but often make good things richer through those bad things. Help me so that my mind and heart rests in this truth." The book "And Still She Laughs" by Kate Merrick has a powerful chapter about perspective and comparison. When we view life in perspective, putting God at the head and living as Jesus would, we find peace and joy in all that we do, the hard as well as the easy. But if we choose to live in comparison to others, we may never be happy, often bitter, and life can become ugly and dark. Okay, I'm going to see if I can make this work now. This is actually a poster that I have at home that I put on the wall for my grandchildren. "People may forget what you say or do, but they won't forget how you make them feel." One day, Ted's kidney doctor did the prep for his dialysis. I thanked him and said I knew it wasn't his job. He replied, "But I'm responsible." I was so moved that he took that responsibility that seriously, and it showed me how much he cared about his patients. The first 2 weeks, I was with him most of the day, every day, but when he went to intensive care, only family was allowed. I had to get permission and schedule times to see him. That was a hard pill. His last move was to a rehab right down the street from where I lived, so I was with him at the end. Ted was 79, I was 71. Ted knew before the rest of us could accept it that he was ready to go. He knew he wouldn't get well, he couldn't walk, and he needed 2 people to help with his restroom care. God took him to be with him in heaven. And this favorite verse of his was so appropriate. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, He will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The end of life leg of our journey can begin, and we don't know that's where we are. We hope, and our family hopes, there's more life to live, and there may be for a time. Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Psalm 121:2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. One of the things that I wanted to share with you is the last 2 years I've been a patient. So I've learned that a patient has a different mindset than a caregiver. And we need to have others be more compassionate, slower to anger, and to consider what we are going through rather than assuming that we know as caregiver what is best or possible, at least before talking with the patient about it. This excerpt from There's a Green Plastic Monkey in My Purse by Jessie Clements is powerful. She's a Christian writer in this passage talking about parenting. Patience is when your spouse chooses to be patient and control his tongue when you make a mistake. Because he loves you. When we love someone, we see his or her worth and act accordingly. When we love someone, we choose to be patient even when our frustration is valid. In 2021, I fell and had a hip replacement. I spent a few days in the hospital and then went to rehab for 3 weeks. For a short time, I had someone drive me to appointments. The church brought meals and I had groceries delivered. I slowly worked my way back to most tasks. Then last year, I found out I had breast cancer, DCIS and invasive this time, and I've had chemo and radiation, and I'm now taking an oral estrogen blocker for 5 years. And I've developed lymphedema, and I'm currently taking physical therapy for it. Last summer, I started writing patient postings in my Facebook group called Caregivers Checklist, and I'd like to share some of them with you. June 24th, God is awesome. The oncologist told me the chemo drug formula is based on height and weight, but it's actually tested on groups of 40-year-old individuals. I was 76. She added my age, reduced the dosage by 25%, and said that I will be healthier and get through the treatments with no interruptions. And she was right. Deuteronomy 7:21, you shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. Sending prayers that we know just how awesome God is, and he is here with us now and forever. June 29th, trust in the Lord. I had an ultrasound yesterday and found out I have a blood clot in my right calf. What happens to chemo now? But I knew God was here. The plans have changed. I don't know why or what happens next, but he does, and that's all that matters. P.S. I had a blood clot after hip replacement, so now there's surgery provoked for me. I didn't know that was a term until then. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Sending prayers that we know that we know that God has got this and us. God, I trust you and I love you very much. July 4th, battling cancer. A classmate messaged about me battling cancer. Well, in comparison to friends and family, I felt guilty for having such an easy time of it. My prayer is that all cancer can be met with what's on this poster. God doesn't give the hardest battles to the toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles, sending prayers to each of us to stand with and by our loved ones in their battles. That's what God would have us do. August 26th, hair care. I don't think I really appreciated how important hair care is until I started losing mine. The unexpected was the scalp itch, worse than any I'd ever had. The point of this piece is that your loved one may be more uncomfortable than you can imagine. Knowing this and finding shampoos and soft brushes will give them peace and comfort. And I wish blessings and peace to each of you. September 1st, letting others help. A nurse friend gave me the book When God and Cancer Meet by Lynn Eeb. And on page 90 and 91, someone said to her, "Don't rob me of the joy of doing this for you." The friend wanted to clean her toilets. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Excuse me. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. If someone offers to help you, let them. They want to bless you like you have blessed them. September 23rd, doctor visits. I read through the plan notes after a doctor's visit, and one statement caught my eye. I didn't remember discussing that point, and I wanted clarification. It turned out that it was a transcription error, so my concern wasn't necessary. What gave me pause is that having someone with me might have helped. And then the question is, when should I start bringing someone with me? I'm not ready yet, right? September 28th. Other procedures during cancer treatment. I'm sharing this information because it's very important for us to understand the importance of knowing the medical health of our loved one. I got a message to schedule a colonoscopy. Well, I knew it was coming. In fact, it was past time. But when I shared that information with a nurse neighbor, she reminded me that I need to contact all my cancer doctors before I schedule that procedure. Medication list. I think I'm going to skip that one. October 9th, getting dressed. Getting dressed is a big deal now, and this is a personal one for me, and this is my story here. With that realization, I would share this thought. When we are waiting on our loved one to finish getting dressed, we can become impatient and maybe even angry, and I've been there. But once you've been where they are, I pray that you will understand. My getting dressed to come here to see you tonight includes, this may, guys, close your ears, whatever. Okay. I wear a compression bra over a regular one during the day to help reduce lymphedema. Hooks and a zipper are a challenge. I wear a toe separator on one foot because I don't want to have foot surgery on that foot. And putting on compression hose over top means I'm sitting on the stool with my feet on the edge of the bed. Okay, so now I'm ready. I have socks, pants, and shirt, but wait. I wear orthotics, which means I put in the lift in one shoe, the orthotics in both, and I'm ready to go. And so maybe in 15 minutes. So either come early or come late if you want to pick me up, okay? How heavy is this glass of water? In a stress management class, a chiropractor asked this question. And his answer is that the absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long you try to hold it. Mike, you're shaking your head like you've been heard this before. Okay. Are you going to hold it for a minute, an hour, or a day? If we carry our burdens all the time, sooner or later, as the burden becomes increasingly heavy, we won't be able to carry on. Blessings and peace to each of us as caregivers, and let us listen and look around us on this journey of life. Now, this one is very emotional for me, so if I start yelling and screaming, please excuse me. November 23rd, as a visual, I think this is perfect. Last night, I dreamed about Ted, and this picture is a perfect reminder about what going through grief recovery is like, and it could very much be going through medical recovery or some other kind of recovery. The expectation line isn't, can't be, and won't be a straight line. I don't care who you talk to, do not let anyone tell you that it will be, because it won't be. The only one that knows what that line is going to look like is God, and you once you've experienced it. And the curves and the twists in the reality line far exceed anything that I want to experience. December 5th, comfort. When our loved ones are frightened, what can we do to help comfort them? May our presence and listening ear help calm them, and that they feel God holding them in His loving arms. Hebrews 13:5, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sending prayers that your loved ones feel God with them, especially in the frightening times. Psalm 119:76, let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. December 6th, this is another one for me. Bill's here somewhere, so. I find myself making decisions based on perceived feelings. I can't keep up. I'll slow the group down. They don't want the extra hassle of my going. These thoughts tell me to not go, to stay home. But I'm going to try not to do that, at least not yet. So my suggestion to you is to let your loved one know that their presence is worth it, that you really want them there with you. December 11th, care teams. Care teams make some people feel like they aren't measuring up. But we need care teams. And it's important to let others bless us, just like we want to bless them. I had the Dublin Methodist Hospital care team, family, neighbors, and Journey Church. They changed the bed, put away groceries, did the laundry, brought meals, and drove me to appointments. And a note, God's got this. Thank you, God. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those that take refuge in Him. Sending prayers and thank you to all my care teams. December 18th, genuine love. Sharing genuine love with our loved ones is the very best thing we can do for them. It's back to caring about them and not caring for them. Psalm 136, all 26 verses, end with, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sending prayers that we feel God's love and that we know God is with us forever and that He wants us to pass on His love here on earth. I'm part of a cancer survivorship group, and when I was making my notes for this presentation, I asked them what they would like their caregivers to know. A few of the things I've already shared, but these three I left for this portion of the presentation. Let me do the little things that I can, and if it's vacuuming, let me do it. Now, I just want to say right now, if you ever come to be my caregiver, I would welcome you to offer to do the vacuuming and the toilets, okay? That's good, because I don't do either thing anymore. This one surprised me, but I think it's a good point. Please don't bubble wrap me. If I need help, I'll ask. And this one is really good. Because of what I'm going through, I may get angry or frustrated. Please don't take it personally. It's not about you. January 16th, listening. Even though I know better, I sometimes presume I know how to deal with a situation. After all, you know, look at all I've been through. I shouldn't even say that, but when it comes to being a caregiver, we may not have all the information that we need. We need to be able and willing to listen. We need details of what is needed, what has been tried, and what our loved one wants if they're able to tell us. What's the song where fools rush in? This is our loved one. We don't want to be foolish and let our pride or fear of failure or whatever other excuse we may have for doing it our way. Sending prayers that we care about our loved one and not just for them. And please take time to listen. This next one, January 30th, happened to a friend of mine, and she's since passed, so I definitely want to share this one with you. A friend told me about double-checking the meds she was given in the nursing home. Whoever prepared the dosage that day had given her a double dose of one med because the old prescription and the new were not the same. And I can definitely see how that would happen, because when you start a blood thinner, I think they're all pretty much the same. You take one dose for, 10 days, and then you take another dose for 3 weeks, and then you finally get to the dose that you're going to be taking. So, really important. February 5th, what is a death cafe? I didn't know what that was until Jill invited me. But what got my attention is a place where people could talk about death, and maybe you or someone you know would rather put their hands over their ears and say, la, 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 I don't want to talk about it. February 7th, helping our loved one. A friend offered to go with Jim and I to the doctor. She would help with his transfer needs. But the trip there and back, plus 2 hours in the doctor's office, was too much. When we got home, Jim was not secure on the chairlift. He ended up on the floor in front of the back door. We called the squad. The squad called another, because it took 4 men to get him off the floor, up the stairs, and into bed. Caregiving is hard. It brings us to the end of our abilities and causes us to question whether we are doing all we can or should do for our loved ones. I have a classmate. I've known her for 65 years. She came to visit me recently. She has been a caregiver for the last 20 years for her husband. And so I asked her what she would like to say, how she felt as a caregiver. And I'd like to share these points with you. There are a lot of things you need help with. Let's make a list so I don't forget anything. Maybe we could make a list of books about healing that would help us both. Let's be patient with each other. I need a break at times to rest and heal. She told me that the last 3 days her husband was alive, she didn't get any sleep. And many of you may have been in similar situations. I'm sorry that you're hurting and that you feel alone, but at times I feel the same. Help me so I can help you. February 8th, Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a hard topic to talk about, and I do not have any personal caregiving experience. But I have talked to my cousin, and I want to share a couple things with you, and many of you may know more about this than I do, actually. But she told me that her husband is docile for the most part, but is confused and falls a lot. They have found a neighbor who comes one day a week for a few hours. However, that help is going to stop because he's had heart issues. So, but it does give her a little bit of time to herself. They have recently found hospice respite care, and so I'm hoping that that will fill in for this neighbor that can no longer help. I had heard that with Alzheimer's, a person's personality will either be a more enhanced version of their old self, or that they may be 180 degrees opposite, which in this case is mean and nasty. If they are in a facility, it would be illegal to restrain them. And ugly, harsh words would be hard to take, especially if they're at home and need 24/7, 365 care. Sending prayers for anyone caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's. Please, God, hold them in your loving arms 24/7, 365. Bring these families all the heavenly angels they need to help with their care. I heard the term Gamui from a missionary, Nicole Bonpart, who spoke at Journey Church in 2015. She works with Eyes Wide Open International in Haiti, and this acronym stands for God's Meticulous Orchestration of Events. If you take nothing else from this presentation, I hope you take Gamui. God has orchestrated the most amazing things in my life, Jill being a perfect example, and I hope you will give him a chance to do the same for you. But truthfully, I hope you found a little comfort or information or whatever from this presentation. We know that caregiving is hard, but caring for our loved ones how we want to be treated is the only way that works for me, and I hope you feel the same.